Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
And it's time for us to get into our conversation with Pastor Balapi. We are looking at the book of Leviticus, chapters 10 and 11, and the pastor joins us on the line right now. My pastor, good afternoon. Welcome to Live on Adventist World Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome. Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you so much once again for making time. We were unfortunately not able to connect because of network challenges on Wednesday, so we are going to have to try and squeeze in two chapters in today's session. So let me not waste any time and hand over to you. Please take us through chapter 10 of Leviticus. What are some of the key lessons for us?
Thanks very much and welcome again. We apologize for the mishap on Wednesday. There was indeed a problem of network, and so we will try to do our best to cover those two chapters in a shortest possible time available to us. We will start with a short prayer.
Yes.
Shall we pray, dear listeners? Gracious and loving Father, once again, we are grateful this afternoon that we can take this moment to allow your word, Lord, to interject our activities. We are praying, Father, for your spirit to guide us and lead us, to empower us to appreciate the counsel that comes from your holy word. It's our prayer that we ask in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Once again, dear listeners, I invite you to come along with me as we consider the two chapters of the book of Leviticus, chapters 10 and 11. I have sent my apology for what happened on Wednesday. Well, let's leave that one behind now and move quickly into what is here with us. One element I want us to appreciate is that the book of Leviticus that we are dealing with, that we are looking into, it falls in the category in the biblical literature. It falls in the category of the Pentateuch. Mm. The Pentateuch section of the Bible, this is the one that predominantly deals with the law. This is the period of time when the law was being introduced to the children of Israel. And the law was not just a narrow path. It was such a broad, a very big aspect of the Jewish culture, the Jewish living. Mm. And so the book of Leviticus chapter 10, quickly, as we take it from the context that it belongs to part of the law background, is given as a way to give the children of Israel guidance on what should be done and what should not be done. In other words, as we read the books of the law, the Pentateuch, we from time to time we realize that they admonish believers, they admonish both the Jews and us, the Christian community today, mm-hmm. on exactly what must be done and what should not be done, what is right and what is wrong. Mm-hmm. This is what we are seeing in this entire Pentateuch, or the five books of the Bible of Moses, as we call it sometimes. Mm. And so in chapter 10 of the book of Acts, rather Leviticus, we meet one incident, a very outstanding incident, in which the sons of Aaron here, that's Nadab and Abihu, we see them growing in their family, well guided on what to do in terms of spiritual activities.
Yeah.
They knew exactly, they actually learned it from their parents, exactly what they should be doing, what should be done, and how it should be done. But to our amazement, we see one particular day in this chapter, we see a day when they were supposed to be carrying out a sacrifice, when they're supposed to be doing the sacrifice themselves. Of course, they started by doing whatsoever that was necessary to be done. But the Bible then brings to our attention the fact that there came a time when they were supposed to burn the sacrifice. Mm. Now, these were a special group of people. These were priests. These were young priests actually growing, learning from their parents, from their grandfathers, from their uncles like that. But we see them coming to a point where they choose to burn the sacrifice. The Bible talks about that they used unauthorized fire. Mm. This, This is where we see a big challenge. They used an unsecular and an unauthorized fire. I want us to take a little time to consider this aspect of the unauthorized fire. I wanted to make a quick reference in the Bible also where the prophet Elijah was faced with a situation where he needed the fire to burn the sacrifice as well.
Yes.
In that particular incident, we see Elijah simply putting everything that needed to be put together in preparation for the sacrifice. And then when the time came for the sacrifice to be burnt, Elijah simply prayed and God rained fire to consume the sacrifice. Now, this was the practice that was actually given to the priests. Elijah also knew about it. And so Nadab and Abihu, they knew this thing very well. But lo and behold, the Bible presents that in their own choice, out of their own evolution, rather out of own volition, this particular day, they chose to bring in a strange fire, an unauthorized fire.
Hey.
What is this that we are learning, or what we are learning here? We are learning that this young man here, this young priest, yes, they knew exactly what was needed. They knew exactly what is required here.
Yeah.
But from their own choice, they simply choose, okay, this time around, we will do something strange. We will do something that the Lord has not authorized. And so now, by not authorized here, the study indicates that probably they went out to get some coals elsewhere. Now, God had an arrangement where every time when the sacrifice was done in the tabernacle or in the temple, God himself was always ready and available to provide the consuming fire for this sacrifice. But this time around, they said, no, we will not wait for the Lord to do this that he does every time. We will go out and provide our own coal. We'll go out and get our own source of fire. And so they brought this and then they burned the whole sacrifice. But the Bible is very clear that right in the middle, in the process of this, the Lord also burnt them. Actually, I'm almost seeing a scenario where the fire that was supposed to rain to consume the fire, the Lord rained that fire upon them and they were destroyed immediately.
Yeah.
This is what we see. What are we seeing here? We are seeing here a situation here whereby when we are, as we are here, God's children, we should know to do things out of our own choice, where the Lord has provided a clear path, a clear light. In other words, when we know that stealing it's a no-go area, God says, thou shalt not steal, we should not. Should we choose to deliberately go that route? Indeed, the Lord will appear and intervene in that situation. And it may not be a very good reputation for our lives. This is what we see here. As you read in this chapter 10, particularly from verses 8, 9 down to 11 there, we see that the Bible also gives an admonition. Gives an admonition to say, these priests, they should not allow themselves to take wine.
Yeah.
Please allow me a little space of time to express that that when the Bible talks about wine here, it's very clear it's talking about an intoxicating wine. It's not just talking about an ordinary juice drink that you take, but it's talking about an intoxicating kind of wine.
Yeah.
And it appears, the study actually indicates that Nadab and Abihu, on this day, they had probably taken this intoxicating alcohol or wine. They had done this. This is actually what led them. This is actually what beclouded their minds and made them a bit more excited on their own. And they wanted to do their own experiment, therefore, to see what would happen if they try to bring their own fire. As a result of the influence of this intoxicating wine, I'm saying to my dear listeners this afternoon or today that, dear friends, God is clear in his word. God's children should not use any reasoning for themselves to take wine, to take intoxicating wine.
Yeah.
I must emphasize this one because I have heard some friends, some in some instances, they would say, no, Paul advocates that you can drink wine, a little wine here and there.
Yeah.
Yes, he mentions that, of course. But he also gives a reason to say where this thing works as a medication. Now, when if it works as a medication, it means even the dose is limited. It's not just anyhow. It's limited and it's not a day-to-day activity that you do. So basically, the Bible is very clear. Outrightly, the Bible is very clear that no intoxicating wine, no alcohol for God's children, because this will be cloud your mind, will be cloud my mind, and we will begin to do some strange things.
Yeah.
We see in our society today, we have a lot of tragedies that take place as a result of people who are drunk with wine. We see a lot of people, an elderly person going out to rape a young little girl, even a very innocent little child. And when you check, to our surprise, they will say no, because the old man was drunk. So we see that there's danger in this drunkenness, this wine thing. It's a danger. So God simply says, it's a no-go area. Otherwise, today, we have those miseries that we see in our midst as a result of this drunkenness. And so Nadab and Abihu, they got drunk. And after drinking their wine, lo and behold, they lost their minds. And to an extent that they did things that were not supposed to be done in the tabernacle of the Lord. Mm. This is a very painful experience. We are appealing to ourselves as God's children to say, let's avoid doing things that the Lord says we should not do them, for they will bring us very bad repercussions or results. In summary, we want to quickly rush and touch 2 points on the book of on chapter 11. Again, like I said, this is a book that talks about things that the Lord is expecting from his children, what they should do and what they should not do. In chapter 11, the Bible brings to us a very important aspect of diet in the life of God's children.
Mm-hmm.
That which must be eaten, that which should not be eaten. The Bible presents here that there are types of foods that are called clean foods, and those that are unclean.
Right.
I want you to observe quickly. Of course, time does not allow me here, but I want you to observe quickly that God goes ahead to talk about, to categorize this in three forms. That is in terms of animals themselves,
mm-hmm.
in terms of the fish family, and in terms of bats family.
Mm-hmm.
All these creatures are grouped together in this way. And God puts it very clearly that among the animals themselves, they are those that can be eaten. You will hear me using the word that can be or that cannot be. Because ideally, from the beginning, from the creation, as you read it in the book of Genesis chapter 1, God had not really intended human beings to be eating animals.
Mm.
He had wanted us to stay away from that and remain as vegetarian as possible. However, we do acknowledge that, okay, in the process of life, other things changed here and there. The flood came in and vegetations and vegetables got destroyed. And so, where in the passage of life, God allowed the flesh to be eaten or the meat to be eaten, but then he did not just allow any everything.
Yeah.
He came in and gave to say, no, in instances where you need to eat meat, you need to look at an animal that is divided, that has its hoof divided, and it also, this animal should be able to chew a cow. Please note with me here, dear friends, the Bible does not give us more scientific information on the dangers of these animals, but it gives us a simple, clear message of spiritual cleanliness.
Mm.
God here is interested in our spiritual cleanliness. Why is it so? Because if you were to go back to the book of Exodus chapter 19, verses 6 and 7 there, again, the Bible reminds God has called his children to be to become a holy nation. Mm. In other words, this passage here is reminding that we are dealing with a perfect and holy God. And this perfect and holy God wants to relate with us, also to rise from a certain ordinary life to a life of holiness, a certain standard of holiness. God wants us to live such kind of life. That's why he calls us that we should be children of, we are a population, a nation, a holy nation, a royal priesthood. In other words, God looks at us as his priest belonging to him.
Yeah.
And as priests, how should we be characterized? We should be characterized by holiness. And so God says here, holiness must be manifested even in the things that we eat. And so what is it that we eat? God is saying to us this chapter here, watch carefully. He gives an example of some birds that can be eaten and those that cannot be eaten. Mm. Gives examples of fish and its family, those that can be eaten and those that cannot be eaten, including the animals like that. In other words, in this particular chapter, chapter 11, to be precise, really God is saying to us, we are his holy nation, we are his holy children. Therefore, we must be careful on our diet, because obviously we know it without going into much detail, scientific details.
Mm-hmm.
We know it very well that that which we eat has a way of affecting us one way or the other.
True.
Our diet, in other words, we are saying our diet has a way of affecting our spirituality, how we relate with spiritual matters, depends heavily or largely on what we eat.
Hey.
We don't need to make a lot of argument. We can quickly refer to the previous chapter, chapter 10. We see Nadab, we see Abihu choosing to eat that which the Lord had said, you shall not drink or eat wine. And so they went ahead to do that, and we know the repercussions.
Yeah.
As God's children, if we choose to eat things that are forbidden, definitely we are causing harm, not only to our physical body, even to our spiritual aspect of life.
Hey.
The encouragement from God's word, therefore, the encouragement here is that the Lord is appealing to us. The Lord is saying to us, as we see the world now becoming so terribly sophisticated and complicated, it is important for us to stay clean from a lot of strange things that are being eaten.
Mm.
We need to stay clean by taking simple diet that will promote the health of our minds,
yeah,
the health of our souls, the health of our spiritual lives as well. If you eat some of these things, some of these animals, that some of us, and they eat terrible things, they can easily translate their sicknesses, their diseases, their characters into your life.
Hey.
And ultimately, you will see yourself behaving almost like a wild animal,
hey,
because of what you eat from such. God is clear to us, dear God's children. The Lord is appealing to us, let's eat that which will promote good health, proper reasoning of our minds, proper reasoning of on our spiritual matters. This is what the book of Leviticus chapter 11 presents to us on the issue of diet.
Mm.
Dear friends, I wish you the Lord's blessings as we enter the weekend. May the Lord bless you and may the Lord guide you to eat well. I know particularly as we enter the weekend,
yes,
everybody gets excited, particularly this time around. We call it here in the Christian world, we call it a festive season. We go into a lot of festivity until we feast ourselves.
Yay.
In the manner of eating. I appeal to everyone, as we feast, as we do this, let's remember we belong to God, been purchased by his precious blood.
Yeah.
We need to stay as clean as much as the Lord gives us breath to do so. God bless you, friends. God be with you till we meet again.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor. What a message coming on a Friday afternoon when we're preparing our Sabbath lunch, we're preparing our seven colors. And like you said, heading into the festive season, everyone is planning the brides that we're going to be having and things like that. So it's very interesting that God has planned it in such a way that we would have this conversation today. I don't think that was an accident.
Sure. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Pastor. Have a wonderful Sabbath.
Shall I pray with you as we close?
Please do.
Once again, Eternal Father, we are grateful for your goodness, your kindness, and your love, that you do not allow us, Lord, to perish in our ignorance, but from time to time, you interject our activities and bring some light to us. Oh, Lord, we pray. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you help us. We know that sometimes, Lord, we want to do that which is right, but the devil has a way of tricking us in our excitement, particularly as young people, as youth. Father, we are praying that we look at the example, the situation of Abihu and Nadab, that, Lord, this is a clear admonition, this is a clear rebuke to us that even as young people, we need to stand for that which is right.
Amen.
We are praying, dear Lord, for our diet, for our feed, for our meals that we eat, particularly this time around. Oh, Lord, we pray that our minds be clear to make right decisions on what we eat, for that which we eat makes a lot of impact in our lives. Bless us, Lord, and guide us as we enter into the weekend. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you, Pastor. God bless you. Have a blessed Sabbath.
Thank you. God bless you too.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.